Blog Talk Radio.
Weird wee hours of the morning, and I always write the time down, and I I keep a pad and pencil next to my bed because I journal. And oftentimes on some, not every night, but there are some nights where he will give me a full message. And so this was that particular night when I woke up, the clock said 4:44 a.m. I won't forget that, 4:44. So with me, I know I start asking God, you know, I ask him the question, okay, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to communicate? What do I need to get for myself? What do I need to correct? What do I need to get rid of? You know, because we all have to do some self-evaluating. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have issues. We all have peaks and valleys. I guarantee you, as long as you're living, that you're going to have peaks and valleys. You're going to have seasons. Just like there is in the natural, there is in the spiritual. We're going to have seasons. I'm going to be up, and sometimes I'm going to be down. You know, and the goal is I try to push towards the mark of the high calling. I try to keep my eyes focused, my heart and mind stayed on Christ Jesus. I try that, but sometimes because I'm human, sometimes I miss the mark. Amen. And so he woke me up this particular day, and I said, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me? What is this 444? What is this significant? Why, you know, where are you taking it? And so I said, okay, well, let me just see. Well, four, so I went to the fourth book of the New Testament, and I just began to read. I didn't stop there because I did go through and begin to go, but he took me to John 4. Chapter 4, and that's what we're going to be coming from on tonight. And so I always, as I always do, is ask you all, don't just take my word. This is my revelation. I'm sharing it with you, and I pray that as I share with you that you'll get your own revelation, that God administered to your spirit, and that he will give you exactly what you need on tonight. You're not on here just by accident. You're not on here just because you know Denise or Niecy or Coach D. You know, I thank you for your support, but I know that some of you are here on some Thursdays, and I may not see you for 20 more Thursdays. So I know that you being here is not your direct connect to me, but maybe it's God's will. Not maybe, it is God's will for you to be here on tonight to hear this word, amen. And I would tell you to listen to the message and don't pay so much attention to the messenger, because I believe that there is a message for each and every one of you on tonight. I know it's a message for me with everything that's going on, and what's going on has just been devastating for many, to say the least. And I just noticed that the more we, it's kind of like, have you ever been in a store and there was a song that you heard before you went in the store? Maybe you might have heard it, you know, within that day or within a period of a few days, and you heard the song. You said, oh, I hate that song. I do not like that song. Okay? I had a song like that, Beyonce, To the Left, To the Left, or, you know, and I hated that song. I didn't know the words to it. I didn't like it. I wasn't going to sing it. And one day I was in the store shopping, and they started playing the song. And it seemed like the song went on forever. Before I know it, I was singing along with the song, because every time I would get in my car, that song would come on. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, this song was coming on. And so before I know it, it had got into my spirit. And before I knew it, I was singing the song. I started liking the song. You know, the song started having a certain meaning to me. Why am I telling you this? Because if you keep hearing about coronavirus, and if you keep watching the media, and you keep seeing how Trump ain't doing this, and how this person ain't doing that, and how they're doing this, and this person is dying, and that person is dying. And the more you give your attention to it, the more you engage in it, the more it becomes a part of you. The more it becomes a part of you. And some of us is running around and we're depressed, or we're angry, or we're sad. Some of us just break out crying and we don't even know why. And then some of us is fighting the spirit of fear. We're in fear and we're trying to figure out, you know, you know you're a believer. You know you're a child of God, but for some reason you're fighting this fear and you're trying to figure out why. I'm not exempt. If I spend my time giving all my attention to what's going on, I will find myself in a state of depression. So I have to be careful what I give my attention to. And I noticed this week I was in one of those sentimental moments. I found myself yesterday just for no reason crying. I found myself crying for no reason, and I was trying to figure out what it is. And now you're trying to make sense. Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Am I supposed to check out? Is this thing nearer to me? Nothing. You know, the enemy starts playing tricks with your mind. And so now you begin to entertain what has been put into your mind. You're entertaining these thoughts now. You're answering them. You're asking questions of them. And before you know it, you're caught up. And so I just want to tell you on tonight, be careful. Guard your ear and your eye gates. Guard your heart. The Word of God says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. We got to guard our heart. We can't look at everything. We can't go searching the news trying to find out everything, because whose report are you going to believe anyway? Are you believing the report of the world, or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? I want to believe the report of the Lord. And so in order for me to believe the report of the Lord, I need to put the Word of the Lord in me, because the Word of the Lord is what's going to increase my faith. Because, you know, the Word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we want to make sure we get more of the Word. You got to get more of the Word than the world. More of the Word than the world. Amen. Now, that's not even my message on tonight. Amen. We're going to get to the message, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear that on tonight. We all are emotional. You know, we're humans. We are spirits housed in flesh. So we have a soul, and with that soul is the emotion. So we're going to experience emotions. We're going to be experience passion and compassion and sadness and joy. Those are the emotions. But I just want you to be encouraged that God is still on the throne. He hasn't left us nor forsaken us, and that's what this message is going to be about tonight. It's going to bring you hope. He's here. He's here. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to John, chapter 4. You know me, I'm going to lay the foundation, and then we're going to go from there. This is not going to be all night, but I think it's going to be a message worthy to take us through the rest of the week. Amen. Because I don't know about you, I need some encouragement on tonight. And the best encouragement I could get comes from above. Amen. And I'm bringing that encouragement to you. So the message on tonight is, I am he, I am here with your spirit, not your flesh. I'm going to repeat that. I am he, I am here, comma, here with your spirit, not your flesh. John chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 4, and we're going to take it all the way to 26. Now he had gone through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Now, I'm going to stop right there, because you got to understand that Samaritans were Jews too, but they were different. You know, they were Jews, but they weren't the ordinary Jews, okay? So there was a lot of conflict. There was a lot of hatred. There was a lot of things going on between what they call the ordinary Jews and the Samaritans. There was a fierce, long-standing battle between them, because the Jewish had submitted totally and completely to Judaism. And then the Samaritans, even though they were Jews and they practiced like the first five books of the Old Testament, but they had a lot of pagan religions and beliefs as well. So they kind of interacted with it. Well, you could probably look at the ordinary Jews as being kind of pure, and the Samaritans have been tainted. They have been tainted by different pagans and different belief systems. So they were seen as unclean. And the Jewish people avoided them at all costs. I mean, they avoided them. They would go miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles out of their way just so that they would not have to pass through Samaria because they seen them as unclean and not holy. Amen. So I just wanted to give you that so you could understand why we were right where we were. Why this woman was saying to him that she is a Samaritan, and how can he ask her for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. We're going to pick up at 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "So," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you will reveal, Father, that you will give us a rhema word on tonight. Lord, that these words will come up by your spirit, and they will not just be letter, Father, but that we could embrace them, Father God, that we could apply them, Father. And Father God, that we would get revelation knowledge so that we could move forward, Father God, in the things that you've called us to, Father. So we just say thank you for this word. Have your way, Father. I die completely to self, that you will rise on the inside, Father God. Use me as a vessel, Father, to bring forth your word in Jesus' name. So as we read this story, John 4:4-26, everybody's familiar with the story of the Samaritan woman. That's not a new story. And he led me to that story on that night, 4:44 a.m. And I believe he led me to this story for 3 points that I'm going to bring up during this message that he wants us to know. We're going through some very trying times, and things are getting to the point where his word tells us, well, if we're not careful, we could be easily deceived. Okay? He said even the elite, people who say they know his word, these people are going to be fooled. We could be deceived. Even the wise could be deceived. There's things going on. We're hearing things. There's rumors. There's different things. There's plague, there's famine, there's viruses, there's all things that's going on. And these things are going to come. But this is not the end of the world. This is the beginning of the end. Amen. And I know that sounds scary. I know as a young girl, I used to hear this. I've been hearing this for 56 years, that the world was coming to an end. And so as a little girl, I would get nervous and I would get scared because I didn't understand. That was a lot of information for me as a child, not truly understanding what the information was about. And some of us have a child spirit. Some of us are not mature in the spirit. So when we hear these things, it becomes overwhelming. It makes us fearful. We don't know. You know, only thing we could think about is death. And the truth of the matter is that if we don't understand death and if we don't understand salvation and eternal life, then death for us is devastating. Amen? It's devastating. It's fearful to think, oh, my gosh, I'm dying. But when you know, when you know where you're going, when you know what the end result of that death is, takes away that fear. It takes away that fear. Because when I know, or you know, that when I leave here, that that's not the end. That this body goes away. But there's a spirit inside of me that continues to live on, that continues to live, you know, eternal life. And so when we know that, then the fear is gone. So it's kind of like, you know, the scripture says, death, where is your sting? Victory, grave, where is your victory? Where is the sting when we are in Christ Jesus and we have eternal life? Where is the sting of death? Now, I'm not saying, you know, if it's not your time to die, you're not going to die, because we've all been put here for a purpose. And maybe our purpose is for a season such as this. If you're listening in on the show tonight, guess what? That tells me one thing if it don't tell me anything else. It tells me that right now you have been exempt. God's grace has been sufficient, that you have not contracted or you have not died from COVID-19. If you're on this call listening. And so that alone is a blessing. That is a blessing. And it's a blessing that we can't take for granted, because there are many that's not sharing the same story. And my prayer, my hope, because that's devastating. I don't care how much we love the Lord, death is devastating. It brings about a sadness, especially when it's people that we build a relationship with and that we know. We don't want to see that anybody die, but the good thing we know is that if they did leave here, to know that they have eternal life, to know where they're going, brings the comfort and peace. So the three points I want to make from this story on tonight about the Samaritan woman, because this really, even though it's about the Samaritan woman, this really is not about the Samaritan woman. But this is about something that God wants us to know, and he shares the story of the Samaritan woman to show us something. The three points that he's sharing here is that I am he, I am here, here with your spirit and not your flesh. And he says it towards the end of the story when you get down to, you know, he's telling the woman the whole time he's talking to her, he's revealing things to her. How often is God talking to you? Are you listening? Is he revealing things to you about your life? Because God knows everything about us. God knows things that nobody else knows. God knows things that we don't even know about ourselves. So there's nothing that we could do in the dark. There's nothing that we could do secretively when it comes to God, because God knows everything about us. You know, you could fool me. I could fool you. We may could fool a whole lot of people, but we can't fool God. God knows everything about us. This is where he was calling this woman out. Hey, I know you've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now still ain't your husband. He knows our stuff. He knows those skeletons in the closet. He knows our thoughts. Amen. So even when we're walking around and we're trying to act like we have this mighty faith, he still knows when we're really worried, when we're really in fear, when we're really in panic. God knows these things. He knows everything about us. And what he's trying to tell us is, I am God. I am God. I am God. Jesus is God in the flesh. He was the living Word who came to the earth. Amen. He is the I am. John 14:9 tells us that Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? He was talking to the disciples. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, He said, don't we know him? How? I don't know. Maybe some of us haven't been saved long. Maybe some of us haven't accepted the gift of salvation long. And if you haven't, that's fine. This is not for you. But some of us been walking this walk for 10, 20, 30, some of us 40 and 50 years. We've been walking this walk. He said, don't you know me by now? I've been among you this long of a time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So he was telling him, Jesus was telling him, because Jesus was in the place. He said, don't you know? And I say today, he's saying the same thing. He may not be in the flesh, but he's in the spirit, a spirit that he left for us. He said, don't you know me by now? Because if we don't know him, then guess what? We need to get to know him. And we get to know him through his word. Amen? We need to get to know him because we need to know that he is the I am. And that he is here. We're going to take that to the next point. But get to know him. Know that he is God and that he alone is God. You know, we can't sit up and tell the world about how omnipotent our God is and omnipresent our God is. We can't go around telling the world that God is all in all when we don't even trust him to handle a situation as simple as COVID-19. Why am I saying it? Because there's a lot of Christians that are running in fear. There are a lot of Christians that have brought into the propaganda of fear, and they're behaving as such. And when they begin to behave and they begin to speak, why? Because out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's going on in the inside of us eventually is going to come on out on the outside of us. So if I'm scared, if I'm worried, if I'm concerned, that stuff is going to start coming out of my mouth. So that's what we hear people talking about. Oh, it's too soon. And, oh, we shouldn't do this. And, oh, we're going to do this. And we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. And I'm not saying not be conscious. I'm not saying not be cautious. What I'm saying is don't be hostage to the situation. Why are you not to be hostage? Because you are a child of God, and God has given you a whole book to give you reassurance. He's given you a whole book to give you faith and encouragement and confidence and courage and strength so that we don't have to be hostage to our environment. Amen? We don't have to be hostage to our environment. Use wisdom, godly wisdom, not human wisdom, but godly wisdom. If you haven't been praying, start praying. That's part of our caution. Pray. Seek God. Ask him. Ask for direction. Ask for clarity. If the band lifts up, ask God for clarity. You know, it's no different. Even when the ban was down, people were still ordering food out at places and driving through and picking up. But guess what? You don't even know. Even before COVID-19, you don't know who's cooking in those kitchens. You don't know what kind of disease and infections they have. That's why we bless our food. We don't bless our food because it's just a thing to do. We're blessing our food because we're praying for protection for our body before we eat this. Anything that's in this food that's unclean, anything that could cause harm or health issues, we're praying and asking God to bless the food, that no weapon formed will prosper. Amen? So we shouldn't be doing anything different than what we've been doing. If you've been praying, if you've been staying connected, you need to be praying. You know? You need to be asking God for guidance. Lord, I need to do X, Y, Z. How should I do this? Because the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us if we're feeding him, because some of us, we've got a Holy Spirit in us that's dormant. He's dormant because he ain't been fed. And if you haven't been fed for 2 days, we're crying and whining when we have to fast for 3 days. We're crying, oh, I'm starving. Oh, I'm not going to make it. Oh, I'm going to die. These are the words that come out. So if we in the flesh know that we got to feed our flesh, we got to feed our spirit. And we feed our spirit with the word of God, the word. worship, prayer, and praise. That's how we feed our spirit. Our spirit has to be strengthened, especially in a time such as this. Because why? We need to be able to hear God. So let's get to the point, too. I am here. So we always see that I am He. He's telling us, I am God. There is no other. Period. Point blank. I am God. I control all of this. Okay? So he already told us that in the second point. I am here. John 14:16 tells us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Something? No, all things. Maybe just the things he wants us to know. It says all things. He will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's saying to us, he's leaving us a comforter. He's leaving us his Holy Spirit. You're Christian, you're a believer, you believe in Trinity. Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. So we already established in the first one that God, the Father. God, the Father, that, you know, and Jesus, the Son. And now we're knowing that God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Whoa. So if that's Trinity, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, so that Holy Spirit that is God is the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God he's leaving behind. And that Spirit lives inside of us as born-again believers. That Spirit is in us. So we are responsible for feeding that Spirit and making sure that that Spirit is nurtured inside of us. And when that Spirit is activated as believers, then that Spirit begins to bring things to our remembrance. So if that Spirit is activated, then you guess what? It ain't nothing that Trump, it ain't nothing that CDC, it ain't nothing that the governor, the mayor, the congressman, the city council, nothing that they could do or say should be dictating your life and how you're moving. Because that Holy Spirit inside of you, he should be ministering to you. You know that little spirit, we all experience it. If you ain't experiencing it right now, then you need to be still. Take advantage of being in the house right now. Take advantage, get somewhere, sit still, and hear that Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because that Holy Spirit is going to tell you when you're coming close to danger. That Holy Spirit is going to say, I don't think you should go there today. I don't think that's what you should do. You know, you've had that feeling. I know people get testimony after testimony. They don't refer to it as the Holy Spirit, but that's really what it is. They don't refer to it as the Holy Spirit, but that's what it is when they say, you know what, something told me not to go there. I didn't go. I'm so glad I didn't. 10 people got killed. Ooh, something told me not to take that flight. And I'm glad I didn't take that flight because that flight crashed. Did you hear the testimonies of people from 9/11? How many testimonies of people that said they were supposed to be at work and either they didn't go to work or they were supposed to be at work but they woke up late and they got there late, but it saved their lives because it was something, that little spirit, something telling them or guiding them or leading them. And that same spirit is live in all of us today. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that he's left, an advocate that's fighting on our behalf, that's helping us, that's bringing things to remembrance, that's helping us navigate through this thing called life. We need that Holy Spirit. If you don't have that Holy Spirit, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you're having a fruitless life. It's a hard life. Why? That's why you can't stop having sex outside of marriage. Oh, you can't stop. Why? Because your flesh is not going to allow you. The flesh is not going to stop you from doing what it loves to do. It's the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you that helps you to stop doing drugs or stop having sex outside of marriage or stop cussing people out. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And when he's not being fed sufficiently, and you're not submitting to him, then the flesh is going to take over. See, it don't take the flesh but a minute to do something out of order. Oh, Jesus, it don't. It only take it a minute. You could go unconscious like that. What's that? Snap your finger. 0 to 5 seconds. Now. CBM, alcohol is alert. It's the now. 0 to 5 seconds. It only take a minute to lose it. How many of us come straight out of prayer, straight out of worship? We got to go somewhere. We get out on the road and we're driving and somebody drives too slow or somebody makes the wrong turn and almost hits you. And in a moment, you didn't cuss or you didn't gave them the finger or you didn't did something that's out of the character. And then after we do it, we're so convicted and we're true to that conviction, we're saddened. We're grieved. Why are we grieved? We're grieved because we feel like we let God down. Oh, Lord, how could I have done that? Oh, Lord, how could I have said that? I was just in your presence. Oh, I was so full of your joy. But in that matter of that second, all it takes is going unconscious for a second. And the flesh will take over. The flesh is not a friend of ours. The flesh does not love you. Repeat. Look at your neighbor and say, the flesh does not love you, because the flesh doesn't love us. The flesh doesn't care anything about us. Why are many of us dealing with obesity? Because of the flesh. Why are many of us in situations, some situations that we didn't got into? Because of the flesh. Some of us is having, that's not me, but I'm just saying some of us is having affairs. We messing with married women and married men. Why? Because of the flesh. We're living in sin because of the flesh. The flesh don't care nothing about you. It don't care so much about you because have you ever been driving and your flesh got sleepy and before you know it, you done dozed off? And thank God, by God's grace, you woke up just in time before you ran into someone. Some of you guys probably give it a testimony that you didn't wake up in time. And you ran off the road. You ran in the ditch. You ran into the back of somebody. You got in an accident because you dozed off, because the flesh don't care about you. When the flesh is ready to do what it want to do, it want to do it. When the flesh is ready to go to sleep, the flesh is going to go to sleep. When the flesh is ready to eat, the flesh wants to eat. And it's us, conscientious believers or people that say, no, I got to discipline the flesh. No, it's discipline is delay and self-gratification. So it's the discipline of us saying, no, flesh, you're not going to do what you want to do. That's what fasting is for. Fasting is the opportunity and time for us to speak to our flesh, to put our flesh under subjection, to say to our flesh, no, you're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what I tell you to do by God's Spirit. And we need to be disciplined in this season. We need to be disciplined. We need to get in the habit of hearing the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us so we can begin to manifest some things on the outside so that we can be more conscious about what we say and what we do and how we do it. We got to be, and what we're listening to, because when we discipline our flesh and allow our spirits to reign, then we could begin to hear what God is telling us to do. A lot of us have gotten into dangerous situations. A lot of us have gotten sick. Why? Because we didn't discipline our flesh. We didn't discipline our flesh. I was listening to a message the other day, and I heard a gentleman say that if you are eating, drinking, or doing things that's going to make you sick, then you're not close to God. And when he said that, it resonated in my spirit. It resonated in my spirit. The first thing was, I thought, ooh, you know, I wanted to be offended. The flesh wanted to be offended. But the spirit said, that is so true. If we are eating, drinking, or doing things that's going to make us sick, that's going to have us in poor health, that's going to have us not doing well in our body, then we are not close to God. Why he says that? Get it. Because when we are in tune with God, when we're in relationship with God, when we're in complete vertical alignment with God, then we're according to Galatians 5:16, we are walking in the spirit. And by us walking in the spirit, that means with God, then we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So if I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I don't have to talk about gluttony. I don't have to talk about obesity. Why? Because now I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So when the flesh says, I want a hamburger with cheese, bacon, avocados, and mushrooms, and then my spirit is saying, no, we're not going to have that today. We're going to eat healthier. We're going to eat something a little bit that your body could digest. We're going to eat some things that's not going to cause digestion, diabetes, high blood pressure. We're going to eat some things that's not going to affect your liver, your kidney, or your spleen, or your heart. So that's what it means. We're in connection. When we're walking in the spirit, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So if you are eating, drinking, and doing things that you know is going to make you sick, then you need to really reevaluate where you are vertically, because that means that you're out of alignment. Amen? Out of alignment. So we're talking about him being here. So first of all, he is God. He is the I Am. Second of all, he is here. Yes, he is here. He has left his comforter. His comforter, you are born again believer. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and you need to nurture. You need to feed. You need the word of God. You need to worship God. You need to pray to God, and you need to praise God. Those are the four things you need to do to begin to nourish your spirit, so your spirit can rise up on the inside and begin to give you revelation knowledge, so your spirit can rise up on the inside and keep you and navigate you out of destruction. The enemy got trapped. He got trapped for you. He got them set up every day. Don't think that he goes to sleep. He's not sleeping or slumbering. He is going to and fro. He's trying to find who he could get tripped up. He's trying to find who he could devour, because his main job is three things, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his job. He's on his job. Even when we ain't, when we off of work, he's still working. Amen? And so we got to be on it. The word of God tells us to pray without ceasing. And that's not you don't necessarily have to be in a prostrate position. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be prostrate on your face. Praying without ceasing means keeping your mind, your heart, and your mind stayed on God. I have conversations with God throughout the day. I mean, I could be sitting at my computer at work, and I'm having conversations with God. I could be anywhere, and I'm having conversations with God. And people don't know I'm praying. They don't have to know I'm praying. But I'm having these conversations with God. We need it. We're in work. We're doing different things. We have a lot of stress. Some of us are in jobs that we have a lot of responsibility. We have stress. We got to tell people things. We got to deliver messages. You know, right now, companies are laying people out. People got to lay those people off. You know, people don't just get laid off on their own. There's managers and supervisors and different people that have to lay these people off. So how do you feel about, you know, you got to make sure you right with God. Why I say that? Because if you're not, you got to go to bed every night knowing that you just caused 10, 20, 30, 40 people not to be able to feed their families. And it's not that because it's your fault. It's what it is. But you have to deliver the message. So now you have to deliver the message. And if you're not careful, the enemy will bring a guilt trip on you, and then you can't sleep at night because you're feeling guilty. You're feeling bad. You're worrying. You're concerned about what happened with these people. You're concerned if what I just delivered to these people, would that be my destiny? You know what I'm saying? So we got to trust God, and we got to believe in God that he's got us covered. We got to believe in God that he already knows the plans he has for us, according to Jeremiah 29:11, that he knows the plans for us. He has an expected end for us, a future and a hope. Amen? We got to believe that as believers. as believers. And even when we're out there on our job and we got jobs that we have to do and we don't always agree with what we've been told to do through our bosses, our managers, our supervisors, we have to remember one thing. And the first thing we have to remember is that you are a believer before you are an employee. You are a believer before you are an employee, so you should always be conducting yourself as such. And then the second thing you have to remember is that you're not working for these people, you're working for God. Because when God's assignment for you at that job is over, guess what? God will move you on to the next assignment. Amen? So you need to be a beacon, a light in dark places, even on your job, even on your job. Lastly, I'm going to get to the number three. The number three, hopefully you are being blessed by this and this is helping somebody. One, I am he. We know he is God. Two, I am here. We know that he is here. He has left his Holy Spirit within us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He tells us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from his love. So he is here. He told the woman, see, like a Samaritan woman, oftentimes we are just so, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Number three, hear with your spirit, not with your flesh. So many of us, like the woman, was hearing with our carnal mind. Her flesh didn't even recognize that God was right there before. How many of us are not recognizing that God is right here with us? He was right there with us, right in front of us, and all she could focus on is what she believed to be the obvious. I love this part of that scripture because hear what I'm saying, what she believed to be the obvious. Because, see, right now the obvious to us is that hundreds of thousands of people are dying because of COVID-19. That's the obvious. That's our obvious. That's your obvious. And so what God is saying is that just like the Samaritan woman, she believed that the obvious was she was sitting up here talking to this Jewish man who was asking for water. That was her fact. Or that was her truth, her obvious. Our truth is what we see, our obvious. This is us. It's like it's obvious people are dying, hello. And this is this woman. Her obvious was she's talking to this Jewish man who's asking for water. She already kind of looking at him sideways because he, why are you asking for water from a Samaritan woman? You know, Samaritan is one thing. You already don't like us, but a woman too? I'm a Samaritan woman? That was her obvious. You see, what she believed to be the obvious. But the truth was, Jesus was right there with her. What is your obvious right now? What is your obvious? Is it obvious that your income has reduced by half? Is it obvious that you've gotten laid off and you have no income? Is it obvious that people around you are dying or sick with something? Is it obvious that, what's your obvious right now? Because that's your obvious. That's not God's obvious. And because we are children of God and we are believers, that should not be our obvious. It's obvious that people are dying in the natural. But see, that's not obvious to me. I'm not dying. You're not dying. There's so many that's not dying. My obviousness is that God has promised. He has promises. He promised his children certain things. He tells us, you know, that we're covered under the blood. He told us also that not all sickness is unto death, but for his glory. That's the obvious. The obvious is that God's grace is sufficient. And his mercy is anew every morning. The obvious is that he told us that that we're his people. We know we're his people, right? You're a believer. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So we're his people. The obvious is that he tells us that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, go after him. Look for him. Turn away from those evil ways. Whatever you're doing, don't do it no more. He's saying, don't do it no more. Humble yourself. Get rid of the sin in your life. If you got some sin in your life, get rid of it. It's going to cost you. But whatever those sins are that you're doing that you know is not pleasing to him. See, I'm not talking about somebody that's drinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody that enjoys going to the movies. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people that women that like to wear pants or red lipstick or red phenol. That's not what I'm talking about. See, I'm not talking about religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that stuff that God been dealing with you late in the midnight hour. You know what stuff you're doing. I don't have to know it, but we all know what stuff we're doing. We know those things that are not pleasing to God. He's already talked to us about it. It's no surprise. There's no surprise. We all know. We all got that thorn in the side, that thing that God's telling us, you better check it. You better get rid of it. You better make sure. We all got those things, and God is telling us, get it right. He said, I got the answer. I'm going to heal your land. And guess what? Your land is your land. See, when we talk, we say that scripture says, we think it necessary, it's necessary that he got to come and he's going to heal the whole world. And that may not be, but what's your land? What incorporates land? It incorporates you. See, when I read that scripture and I'm praying and I'm humbling myself and I'm turning from my wicked ways and I'm seeking God's face and I'm looking for him to heal my land, I'm looking for him to heal everything concerning me, everything that I'm concerned about. Amen? I'm looking for him to do that. He's doing that in my life. I thank God that my story, and I'm not taking light because I know people who know people who have died, and they've been told that they died of coronavirus. I know people who have experienced people that died. And so I don't want to take nothing away from that. I'm praying for those people. I'm praying for their peace. I'm praying for their comfort. I'm praying that God will touch them in ways unimaginable to them. But I also thank God, and I don't take for granted, and I give him the glory that's not my story, that I don't have any family that I know of that has been affected. I don't have any family that I know of that's suffering through this thing that's going on. It's an attack. Sickness, disease, whether it comes from coronavirus or it comes from something else, is an attack. And I thank God that my family's not being attacked. I thank God that none of you are being attacked, I pray. Amen? I pray that you're not being attacked by this. I pray that this message on tonight will really touch your hearts and minds, and that it will provoke you to an action, that you would take action. What's the action that you need to take? Your action that you need to take is you need to realize that he is God. He is the I Am. I am everything that you need. I am everything that you need. If you need a healer, I am him. If you need peace, I am him. If you need protection, I am him. He said he's everything. I am is all inclusive. He's everything that you need. That's the first thing you want to know. He is I am. The second thing, know that he's with us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He is walking through this life with us, this journey called life. He's walking through it with us. He has given us a comforter. He's given us somebody that's going to minister to us, that's going to remind us, that's going to speak to our spirits, that's going to give us the peace that we need, that's going to give us the joy that we need. He's with us. We don't have to go. We don't have to go to the priest to go on our behalf. We got direct access to the Father through the Son. He loved us so much that he left a part of him. He left a part of him here with us. Not with us. Let me not say with us, but inside of us. See, Jesus walked among them. With the disciples in the days of Jesus, he walked with them. But now he's in us. And he said, greater things. Greater. If he's healing the sick, the blind is recovering. He said, greater things will we do. But if we only believe, we just not believing. So we're letting other things, we're letting other information program our computers. Our brain is a computer. It's a database. And we're letting other things download into us, into our spirit. We're downloading negativity. We're downloading what the world says. We downloaded what Trump's saying, who this and that and that. We ain't trusting God. Don't you know that our God, he's not a lamb. He's a lion. And he's coming back to judge. Don't you know that Trump would not be where he's at if God didn't allow it? Don't you know that the things that's going on right now would not be going? It's not that he created it. Sin created it. But God has to at some point step back and raise his hands and allow it. That's our Father. So when we're concerned about things that's going on, we got to know that that's our Father. We got to trust that he knows what's best. And we also have to trust that he got us covered, that he's taking care of us, that he's already considered us. Amen? Amen. Well, Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father, that you want us to know that you are everything we need. We thank you, Father, that you want us to know that you are here with us and that you haven't left us. We thank you, Father, that you want us to know that these carnal minds will get us in trouble, but that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father God, we also thank you, Lord, that you want us to know that we need to make sure that this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, we just love you and we praise you, Father. I pray for each and every person that's listening in on tonight. Father, I pray that every need will be met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I pray that no one will lack for nothing, Father God. Father God, not even lacking understanding, Lord. But Father God, that they will come to you, Father God. That they will submit to you, Father. Lord, that they will ask, Father, and that you will give them, Father God, the revelation that they need, Father. Father God, if someone on this phone has not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, Father, I pray that right now under my voice that they will experience the Spirit, Father God, your Spirit, Lord, that will guide them into all truth and righteousness. Father God, we want to worship you. And you say in your word, Father God, that this is a time, that the time has come that you're looking for true worshipers, Father, people that will worship you in spirit and in truth because you are a spirit, Father God. Lord, I pray right now that people will get a chance to experience that truth, Father, that they will get a chance to experience that worship, Father God. Lord, we just thank you right now, Father. I pray right now that if anybody is experiencing symptoms, Father God, we rebuke and bind those symptoms right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray a hedge of protection, Father God, covered under your blood, Father, that you would protect us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father God. Lord, I pray right now that anyone that knows that they need to repent, Father, we repent, Lord. We ask you for your forgiveness of our sins and shortcomings, for we know we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father God. Lord, we just thank you right now that you're keeping us in such trying times, Father. Lord, help us not to be deceived, Father God. Help us not to be bewildered, Father God. Help us not to be in fear, Father God, because fear is in opposition to faith, Father. And you have called us to be people of faith. Now faith, now faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, Father. We need faith, Father. We are people of faith, Father, and we will walk according to faith, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to take a moment. If you are listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, or maybe you need prayer, maybe you're going through something, maybe if you got some news that you're dealing with right now, maybe, I don't know what the case may be, but if that is you on tonight, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. If you need prayer, dial 1 on your dial pad, and we can pray with you. So right now I'm just going to give a couple of moments. We're at the end, towards the end of our show, but I do want to take a couple of moments to give people an opportunity. Maybe you've been on the fence. Maybe you just been on the fence and you know you haven't given God your all. Not that you don't believe, you know you're a believer, but you know that you, but some kind of way you done lost your hope. you done lost your hope. And if that's you and you want prayer, dial one on your dial pad. Or maybe if someone listening in tonight that has never made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, if that's you tonight and you want to say a prayer of salvation and you want to have the assurance to know that whatever happens, whether it be corona or somebody else or something else, that you want to have the assurance to know that if God, if my number come up, that you know where you're going. See, if my number come up, I know I'm going home. I know I'm going home to be with my Father. Amen? And I want everybody that's listening in to have that assurance that you know that no matter what, if you check out of here tomorrow, you know that you're going home. Amen? So, again, if you have a comment or need prayer, dial one on your dial pad. And if not, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this nice episode of Processing the Pain. And we will be back every Thursday. And I look forward to you joining us next Thursday as we bring more practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Know that you each are loved and appreciated. See you next Thursday.